Kapi chana gala ba kiri barat aani. Kapi chana gala ba kiri barat aani. Yasodhanandana Vajajanarandana Yasodhanandana Vajajanarandana Yamanathira Vamachami Yamuna Tira Vamachami Yamuna Tira Vamachami Yamuna New Ramanuja Dhanaki, Tulsi Devi, Bhakti Devi, Ganga Maiti, Yamuna Maiti, Samarita Bhakti Devi. Glory some of the devotees, all glory some of the devotees, all glory Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter, verse 12. Adina Lila Ahasi Tekshanalasa. Adina Lila Ahasi Tekshanalasa. Brabanda Samsuchita Boyanukaha. Icheta Chinta Maya Mena Mishkaram. Yava Mano Dharana Yava Tishtate. Adina Lila Hasite Kshanalasa. Brahmanda Samsuchita Boryanuta. Ikshetra Chinta Maya Mena Mishtaram. Yava Mano Dharana Yava Tishtate. Adina Lila Hasite Kshanolasa. Rubhanda Sankuchita Bhoyanugraha. Ikshetra Chinta Maya Mena Mishtaram. Yavam Mano Dharana Yava Tishtate. Adina. Very magnanimous. Lila. Pastimes. Hasita. Smiling. Ikshana. By glancing over. Ullasa. Glowing. Bhu. Banga. Signals of the eyebrow. Sankuchita. Indicated. Bhuri. Extensive. Anugraham, benediction, Ikshetra. One must concentrate on Chintaman, transcendental, Enam, this particular, Ishvaram, the Supreme Lord, Yava, as long as Mana, the mind, Dharanaya, by meditation, Navatishtate, can be fixed. Translation. The Lord's magnanimous pastimes and the glowing glancing of his smiling face are all indications of his extensive benedictions. One must therefore concentrate on this transcendental form of the Lord as long as the mind can be fixed on him by meditation. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 12.5 it is said that the impersonalist undergoes a series of difficult programs on account of his impersonal meditation. But the devotee, due to the Lord's personal service, progresses very easily. Impersonal meditation is therefore a source of suffering for the impersonalist. Here, the devotee has an advantage over the impersonalist philosopher. mean, personalist is doubtful about the personal feature of the Lord, and therefore he always tries to meditate upon something which is not objective. For this reason, there is an authentic statement in Bhagavatam regarding the positive concentration of the mind on the factual form of the Lord. The process of meditation recommended herein is Bhakti Yoga, or the process of devotional service after one is liberated from the material conditions. Jnana Yoga is the process of liberation from the material conditions. After one is liberated from the conditions of material existence, then one is Nivritta. As previously stated herein, means, there's one verse here, from Nivritto, being detached from the world, is verse 6. Tam Nivritto Niyatato Bhajeta Sansara Hetu Paramashtra Ta. Okay. That seems to be what is referred to. Nivritta-tasha rupa-giyamana. One verse in the beginning of the 10th canto describing this detachment, that Nivritta-tasha, one is detached from the thirst. Tasha means Trishna, the thirst of the world. So here, Prabhupada referring to this word. Okay. One becomes qualified to discharge the process of Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, Bhakti Yoga includes Jnana Yoga. In other words, the process of pure devotional service simultaneously serves the purpose of Jnana Yoga. Ekam Sankhyam Ti Yogam Cha. Another way it's stated in the 5th chapter of the Gita that this practice of Jnana is included. Jnana Sinam is the sharpened sword of knowledge. So in the later on in the Bhagavatam, it's described that this sword, Yadanudhyasina Yukta Karma Granthi Nibandhinam, this sword of knowledge one cuts. So it's very difficult to get to this point of detachment without being part of the vidya, the jnanagni. So jnanagni means the fire of jnan, and one becomes detached. Krishna is speaking like that in the 5th chapter. So many times Prabhupada said it's essential to develop. Mahaprabhu, he is stated by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yogam. So this Vairagya Vidya is available when one understands Mahaprabhu's mission is Vairagya Vidya, not just that there's Vairagya, but there's have to be some Vidya. Vidyavadu Jivanam Pratipadam Purnamita Svadhanam. In the beginning of that, Shikshastakam, Mahaprabhu is saying there that by this development of Vidya, then one begins, that's a taste. At every moment, he tastes the full nectar. Patipadam, vidyabhidhi jivana patipadam, sarvatma snapanam palam vijayate. So, it's important to have gyan, but gyan on its own doesn't stand much. Most persons developing bhakti have already come to gyan, right? That bahunam janmanam ante gyanavamam prabhajita. Vasudeva Sarvamidhisama cannot become instantly Mahatma, according to Krishna. Krishna is the ultimate authority. That one has to have undergone, not necessarily, it can be very quickly, but Prabhupada said, why waste your lifetime after lifetime, bahunam janmanam, so many lifetimes developing gyan. Nashobite gyanam alamnanam janam. Narada Muni says that it's not very nice if you simply have gan, you don't develop bhakti. It's not very nice. No shobhate. It's okay, you got some gan. But what is the ultimate goal of your gan? So here Prabhupada's again restating it. Therefore, bhakti yoga includes jnana yoga. In other words, the process of pure devotional service simultaneously serves the purpose of jnana. Liberation from material condition is automatically achieved by the gradual development of pure devotional service. These effects of bhakti yoga are called anartana vritti, shatato nishtaru chitata. On the level of ado, shraddha, tatak sarasanga, bhajana kriya, then have to come to anartana vritti stage. People should be familiar with the various stages given by Rupa Goswami. The beginning some faith, and gradually one has sadhusanga, becomes initiated. This initiation, association with Guru is very important, that Mahaprabhu is given to Rupa Sanatana to develop this in their literature. Like a sambandha gyan. One has to have gyan. It's called sambandha gyan, knowledge of who I am, what is Krishna, like that. So gyan is always there. Gyana varagya yukhaya. Alright, onward here. Things which are artificially acquired gradually disappear along with the progress of bhakti yoga. Meditation on the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. The first processional step must show its effect by anartana vritti, the grossest type of anartha which binds the conditioned soul and material existence to sex desire, and this sex desire gradually develops in union of the female, male and female. When the male and female are united, the sex desire is further aggravated by accumulation of building, children, friend, relative, and wealth. When all these are required, the conditioned soul becomes overwhelmed by such entanglement, and the false sense of egoism or sense of myself, hamameti, becomes prominent, and the sex desire expands to various political, social, altruistic, philanthropic, and many other unwanted engagements, resembling the foam of sea waves, which becomes very prominent at one time and the next moment vanishes as quickly as a cloud in the sky. Wow. Srimad Bhagavatam is a vairagya, it's giving vairagya. Vairagya kena samyate. Adi madhya. And at the end, the beginning, and the middle, it's giving vairagya. Vasudeva. Bhakti yoga prajit janayatyasu vairagyam jnanam chaya rahaitukam. Detachment from this material world. Say, tapatranam mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikate. We're being assailed by these miseries. They're all coming about by our attachment. So those dots are always being connected. Prabhupada is expert at connecting the dots of this philosophy. So like in this light, when you see there's the story of Ajamyo, how he became so attached just by a minute. Kamaliptena, he saw one Sudra with his girlfriend there, and Prabhupada says, so this is going on in Kali Yuga much more prominently. In the time of Ajamil, which who knows when that was, there was little chance of seeing such a thing. Although he was a Brahmin, when he saw that, then he became, his whole mind was just like the sun and moon overcome by eclipse. Even though they're very prominent compared to cloud is not very important, but it can cover the sun and the moon. So similarly, we can become easily overcome. So many things are given again and again. The Bhagavatam is boom, 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 smashing this idea that you how you develop this false ego. Pumsastriya Mithini Bhavani. It's given by Rishabhdev. It's being referred to by Prabhupada here. Pumsa, when a man and woman come together, is very clear. So we have our aspiring sannyasis here now to remind us. Prabhupada also writes about this, spoke about this very... Prabhupada had become very alarmed, really, in 1976 when some sannyasis were falling down. And Prabhupada's going to talk about that here. We may as well finish the long purport. Okay. Bhakti yoga leads to gradual evaporation of sex desire, which is summarized in three headings, namely profit, adoration, and distinction. All conditioned souls are mad after these different forms of sex desire. And one shall see for himself how much he has been freed from such material hankering based primarily on sex desire. As a person feels his hunger satisfied after eating each morsel of foodstuff, shoot another Bhakti Parashyana Bhava. Prabhupada is referring to the 11th canto verse. Bhakti Parashyana Bhava Varekti Anyatra Chaisya Ekakala. By tasting Krishna consciousness, one gives up. Vishyav Nivartanti Narahara Shidehina Vasavarjana Sokhyasa Param Dushya. Getting a higher taste, he gives up lower taste. Well, Prabhupada's mission is to give the higher taste. Wherever possible, at every moment, he was trying to give higher taste. Just by seeing Prabhupada, one got higher taste, right? You see Prabhupada, you don't want to look. I mean, he's an old, seems like an old man. Some people might see that way, but devotees weren't seeing. They're seeing Prabhupada as what is the Mahabhagavat. And Mahabhagavat has so many amazing characteristics that he's fully detached. Prabhupada said, why do people are after? They love me for some reason. You know, I'm just an ordinary Bengali old man. Why these followers that have taken to my, you know, everything, if I tell them, they'll do it. He actually used to preach like that, probably very expert. Not that his false ego is there. He's just giving the example. How is it possible? Sometimes they would say, Swamiji, what is your mystic power? Can you create some gold or do anything? So mystic power that I have somehow or other, all these persons have given up their attachment to this material. Anartha Nivritti. Anartopa Samam Saksha. Whole Bhagavatam. Anartopa Samam Saksha. Bhakti Yoga Mahokse. Lukasya Janato Vidvam Chakras. Saptata Sangitam. That Bhakti Yogena, when Vyasadeva was instructed by Narad Muni, Samadhi Anusmara, just you enter into Samadhi and become detached from this material world. He did it. Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Sanyapanito Amale. Amale, become completely purified. And in his meditation, he realized a whole material world, everyone is full of material attachments. Therefore, the Bhagavatam is meant to cut these material attachments. And so, when we get an Artha Nivritti, Okay, so automatically by the grace of the Lord effectively results in knowledge or renunciation. But the grace of the Lord effectively, even if a devotee is not materially well educated, very well educated, knowledge means knowing things as they are. We have our Brahman, so-called illiterate Brahman, that Mahaprabhu, other Brahmins were laughing and making a little fun because they knew he wasn't that educated. He's a Brahmin, but wasn't so educated. But they were like, oh, what are you reading there? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but Brahmin, why are you crying like that? They didn't notice that he was crying in ecstasy. Mahaprabhu noticed that immediately. How come you're crying? Well, I'm thinking of Krishna and serving Arjuna and etc. Embraced Lingita. So one doesn't have to be soul learning, but it's nice because there's so much knowledge. Vidya Bhagavata Abhadi. Bhagavatam is the ocean of knowledge, unlimited. Idam Bhagavatam Nam Parama Brahmasanam Uttama Shloka Charitam. The glories of the Krishna, his Uttama Shloka. It is equal to all other shastras. Kimba Pararishvara. One time I asked Kushakrata, he translated many books. Sometimes he made some funny little mistake, but he was in such a hurry to do it. So I said, so what do you say to someone? He asked, what is the best book you've translated as far as detachment from sex desire? Srimad Bhagavatam. Kimbapalaishara. What is the need? In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, there's no need of reading any other shastra. Kimbapalaishara. Sadhyo, Kridya Varujate, because Krishna consciousness becomes established. Adina Leela, the Leela. Because Sukadeva Goswami, Leela Krishna Sarastadiyam. At the end of the Bhagavatam, glorifying, Sutta Goswami is glorifying Sukadeva, saying that the Leelas are going on in his heart all the time. Therefore, he was completely detached from this material world. He was already detached, he described. Parinishti Topinaya Gunya, beyond the Gunas. But hearing the Leelas, Mahaprabhu Sri Kobhavan, he told this to Krishna. He became so attracted by that. So if one is already a great jnani, then he's great, then he's detached already, like Sukadeva. Like these four Kumaras, they're the primary example, but they're for any jnanis. It is found things which are not at all necessary. Naturally, a person who has acquired knowledge leaves aside such unwanted things. When the conditioned soul finds by culture of knowledge that material necessities are unwanted things, he becomes detached from such unwanted. The stage of knowledge is called vairagya, or detachment from unwanted things. We have previously discussed that the transcendentalist is required to be self-sufficient and should not beg. Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dhanadurma dhan dhan. Why should he beg from dhana? Dhana durma, dhana means wealth. Those who are blinded by material world. Andha. Material world is full of andhayat andhara. Blind. Everybody blind. There's one blind leader or many blind leaders, and this is a well-known, even in the West, they printed in BTG once a picture like that. There's several you can see in art, Western art. It shows a blind leader. There's a whole line of blind men, and they're holding the next blind man. In the front, there's also a blind man, and they're all falling in the ditch. So even in the Western art, they have this analogy, this metaphor. Blind leaders, andayatanda rupaniyamana tefisa kamsamurudandabhana. And they're tied by the ropes, the gunas. He's self-sufficient, should not beg from the rich blind persons to fulfill the bare necessities of life. Sukadeva Goswami has suggested some alternatives to the bare necessities of life, namely the problem of eating, sleeping, and shelter. But he has not suggested any alternative for sex satisfaction. Prabhupada said that about, he said, hippies, they have become detached from their families. He used to say about in the West, the hippies have some good qualification. They sometimes are vegetarian. They've given up so many things, their relatives, sometimes even gambling. I know I was a bona fide hippie. I didn't do any gambling. but he said they cannot become detached from sex desire, not without the Srimad Bhagavatam, not without this philosophy. Okay. One who has sex desire still with him should not at all try to accept the renounced order of life. For one who has not attained to this stage, there is no question of a renounced order of life. So, by the gradual process of devotional service, under the guidance of a proper spiritual master, and following the principles of the Bhagavatam, one must be able to at least control the gross sex desire before one accepts the renounced order of life. So recently, very recently, I was rereading some pastimes of Prabhupada that he had with the first crop of sannyasis. Now, the only sannyasi at the time in 1970 that was Kirtanananda, he took sannyas in Vrindavan in 77, and after a few weeks he gave up sannyas. Anyway, he wasn't doing too well. By 1970, again, was doing nicely, so he probably forgot all about the deviation. It was quite deviated, actually, he told me himself. But anyway, he was deviated at the time.
But after, by 1970, 69, 70, so Prabhupada decided that he would give more sannyasis, and there was some reason also. So one, there was a four initially. So Prabhupada said they could take sannyas, and then one of them especially, then Prabhupada thought, I don't know about this guy, because he's so much after money, he's such a businessman. So Prabhupada changed his mind. Ah, he was already very attached to the idea. He didn't want to be left out. It became a very exclusive thing. It became like a little bit of a false ego, prestigious, that they want to take sannyas. You know, he said, no, Prabhupada, please. I want to take also. Okay, my brother is taking, I should take it. He gave it. So he took the sannyas as well. So Prabhupada said, in 1976, there was a sannyas, about seven or eight sannyasis being given sannyas. So in the lecture in Mayapur, Prabhupada said, so we have so many sannyasis, some of them are doing very nicely. If you hear the lecture, he said, some of them are doing very nicely. Then, and he was writing one purport about Gajendra, the elephant and the crocodile had attacked. Just at the time, one sannyasi had given up sannyasi. One of the first, well, not the first four, but maybe the fifth, or sixth, seven. Anyway, he sent his dunder to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was like, so he thought it was such a momentous thing that Prabhupada put it in the purport in the Adi, in the eighth canto, third chapter, Gajendra's prayer. So there's that long, long battle between the crocodile and Prabhupada. The crocodile was in his place. He was well accustomed to the water, so he could fight very easily, more easily than the elephant was not used to the water. He was like tearing at the elephant for 1,000 years, celestial. So Prabhupada said, so he used that as the analogy that, so one is, should not jump over and just artificially take sannyas. We have seen, he said, the Western boys are not fit for sannyas. Western boys, he says. And in the fifth canon, Wakshal talks about sometimes we have given sannyas to unqualified. Somehow they became unqualified. Prabhupada was giving them, but is it even losing so much prestige, they give up their sannyas. Because this family life is so, he wrote that, the forest of enjoyment, there's two chapters basically, where Jadabharat is speaking with Rahugana Maharaj, the king. And he's describing this whole situation in the material world. First, in the first one chapter, he's describing it in a very poetic, more poetic way. The way I see it, I don't see much difference, but then Rahugana said, could you explain this again a little more, so we could understand it? It's very, very, it was very philosophical. And so he became very clear, how this material world, one comes into banik, one is a merchant in the material world. He trying to get something and exploit this material energy. And has his children and his wife. These are the fallible soldiers, we know that. And so Jadabharat compares them to jackals, foxes, tigers, family members, and government men, and crickets, and carnivorous, they're like carnivorous animals. And very, very clear. Jadabharat is very clearly delineating how miserable this material world is. As soon as one comes. This Krishna consciousness movement is meant to. Prabhupada said sometimes that, okay, so they see, who are these Krishna conscious people? They're sitting, they have a table, they have a desk, they have a typewriter, they have cars like us. Prabhupada said just like someone is flying a kite. From distance, you can't see when he's winding the kite up or down. the same kite, someone may be winding it up or down. So this is hot and cold coming from the same power source. So we're becoming detached by doing the same things that the materialists are doing. They see it as the same. They don't know what is that. But when they see us chanting, then no one's doing that. If we partake in the same activities that the ordinary person do, we do that. Many people do that. They also preach. But you must preach also. Jari Degev, Jari Kao, Krishna Upadev. When that Korma Brahman wanted to take shelter of Mahaprabhu, give up his whole family, he said, no, it's okay. Those waves of material energy, Vishaya Charanga, they won't bother you. But rather you'll get my association. If you go back and see anyone you see, give Krishna Katha. Uttama Shloka Charitam. Adina Leela. There's no need to artificially take. What is it? Prabhupada said one time, why every brahmachari wants to carry a stick? We see the Mahajans, no one's carrying a stick. Narad Muni is a brahmachari. Four Kumaras, Kapila Dev, Bhishma Dev, all brahmachari, they don't carry a stick. They're brahmachari. Their brahmachari remains very humble. Mahaprabhu kept his brahmachari name, Sri Dhammadhar. They kept brahmachari name. Just to remain humble. When Sarvabhauma was instructing Mahaprabhu, first thing he said was, he described, Danda Matrena Grahena Namo Narayana, but that because he was such a great pundit, Sarvabhauma, he was not a sannyasi, but when people took sannyas, they would come to him for instruction. He would give instruction because he was so great, a gyani. He was not a bhakti even, but they're after gyan, this impersonal, like Prabhupada described, impersonalists are after gyan. And they are learning Sanskrit, it's important for them. Shankaracharya says, Nahi nahi rakshati dukkha na karne. But all your knowledge and jugglery of different roots of Sanskrit, Mahaprabhu brought that down to Krishna, everything became Krishna. And, yeah. Jiva Goswami wrote his Sanskrit grammar book, all based on Krishna, to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so inspired. But sometimes Prabhupada would talk about Shankaracharya, especially in relation to sannyas, that Narishtana Bharam Navidesham Dishtamagamo Avishan. Prabhupada said, there's no need that the bhakta has to think like Shankaracharya, though. Narishtana Bharam. When he sees a woman, he has to think, oh, it's just a transformation of fat and blood, bone, marrow. Of course, the devotee's also thinking like that, but the impersonalist, he only can think like, he has no higher taste to think of. Okay. Not try to accept renounce sort of life. One who is not attained. Okay, so purification means getting free gradually from sex desire. Shana shanaru paramed. Gradually. Not jumping. Artificially. One should begin at the feet. Sanchintaya Bhagavatash Charanaravinda. Kapila Dev describes chapter 29, third canto, his instructions on devotional service. Sanchintaya Bhagavatash Charanaravinda. One should sanchintaya, meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna there. There he's describing Vishnu. Srimad Bhagavatam also describes Vishnu. Why not? We apply everything to Krishna. If it's Vishnu, it's Krishna. If it's referring to Vishnu, it's also referring. So Vishnu has so many qualities, Krishna has four more. Right? But the first 16, we're not adverse to those. So Kapila Dev has his instructions like that. Brumandalasya Munikate. He describes that one should think of the lotus feet of Krishna, Vishnu, and Jochnabirahata Mahadridayandaka. By the meditation on those feet, Jochnabirahata, the glowing toenails of the feet. It's especially think in that verse, Jyotsna Birahatama. Hidaya Andhakara. We're talking about Andha, blindness. So it's in the heart. Vidaroga Kam. There's a disease in the heart. It's also blindness. So Kapila Dev is saying that that by this meditation, the sex god, he becomes charmed. And therefore, Munikate, for the sake of the Munis, or the devotees especially, they become detached from sex desire. Makara Bhajasya, that's the sex god, becomes detached from Cupid. And Rupa Goswami gives us so many prescriptions. Prabhupada quoted, Smeram Bhangi, Tri Parichitam, Sachivashina, Krishna, Rupa Goswami Sloka, about the smiling face of Krishna, and it's also described. Here it is, the smiling, the glowing glancing of his smiling face. Smaran Bhangi Kray Parijitam Sakshi Vishnu. He's bent in three places and he's holding his flute, Ujvala Chandra, by the glowing light of the moon he's holding, and by the Keshi Ghat Yamuna. But what does he say? Ma Prakshasta, don't go there, don't see Krishna. If you want to stay attached here in the material world, don't see Krishna. It's a basic child psychology, right? Tell the kid. Don't eat these vegetables, they're very bad. He said, well, you don't eat them. Doesn't always work. But. So Rupa Goswami is saying, don't go, Ma Prakshasta, don't glance on that Krishna. Tell the Yadi Saki Bandhu Sangeshna. If you want to stay attached in the material world, then you won't see Krishna. What is he saying? See Krishna at every moment. You should see. Even blind Bilva Mangala Thakur, he poked his own eyes out. Daivena Napalati Dibhikashora Murti. He was seeing that divine form of youthful Krishna, Kaishur Krishna, Dibhikashora Murti. And as a result, this mukti that the Gyanis are so much after, mukti mukalatanjali sevate isma, that mukti that the Gyanis are trying so hard. Do you remember that when Haridas Thakur was speaking in the assembly, he said that this liberation is just falling, he was quoting like this verse, that the liberation, what to speak of, you know, religiosity and economic development, they're rolling on the ground, and they're praying, please, please, in front of the devotee. Look at us, look at us, look at us. The devotee doesn't see it at all. What? Something here? There's some young dharma kamartya vimukta kama bhajanti. Dharma artya vimukti. Not interested in that. So they're rolling on the ground. Please, please, look at me. Bilva Mangala is saying like that. Tadbori bhagyam. This word is a nice word. I always like this word. Many words are nice in Sanskrit, aren't they? Bodhi. Tadbodhi bhavyam. When Brahmaji was his shlokas, I think there might be three shlokas like that where he's talking about this bodhi bhavyam, this great fortune, great fortune. Bodhi da jana. In the Gopi prayer also that Pataprudha was quoting before Mahaprabhu. What is that verse? 84. Huh? Tabakatamitam tapta jivanam. Tabakatamitam tapta jivanam. What is it? Shravanamangalam. Shrimad Aratam. Bodhi Granthi. Bodhi Da Jana. Bodhi Granthi. So, the gopis were saying like that. Bodhi Da means most merciful person, Jana. What happened when Mahaprabhu heard that? Those words he repeated. You are the most merciful. He was embracing. Previously, Prataparudra, he couldn't get any darshan. He was begging all the devotees, please, please, please. Mahaprabhu was crying, begging, everything he was doing. And they were like, their hearts were breaking. They were going, I mean, to induce Sri Dhamma and all these great devotees to go there, you are really, you know. You can't be an ordinary person, you have to understand. So please, king, but oh no, he's the king. I can't. Mahaprabhu was so strict. This junior Haridas, he had taken sannyas, and he simply went to beg some rice. My God, begging rice. All the devotees, they didn't know. They thought he went to beg rice. Mahaprabhu was eating the rice. Where'd you get this rice? Bengali rice. Not easily available. So he said, where did you get this rice? I said, isn't that very nice? Oh, Junior Haridas, he begged it. He went to Malin, the sister of, who is it? Huh? Siti Mahidi's sister. Mahaprabhu said, oh, Junior Haridas, he cannot come see me anymore. Everyone was like, oh. He was singing for Lord Chaitanya all the time, and all of a sudden, bingo, everyone's like, wow. He could barely swallow their food. Enjoying this nice rice, but he cannot see me anymore. And wow. So he was so despondent. So the devotees, they got Paramananda Puri, because Paramananda Puri, Lord Chaitanya, when he went to see Lord Chaitanya on behalf of Junior Haridas, Mahaprabhu, what did he call him? Prabhu. Prabhu, because he's on the level of Lord Chaitanya's guru. So they thought, well, maybe we can't influence Mahaprabhu, but maybe, but let's just, I'm sure Paramananda Puri. And what did Mahaprabhu say? I will go to, if anyone bothers me anymore, he's Ishvara Swatantra. He is described here. Ishvara, the word is also Ishvara. I will go out of Alnath. I won't see me anymore. So after 1 year, Junior Haridas, he went off and went to Prague. And Mahaprabhu said, that is nice. Actually, interestingly enough, very interestingly enough, when this one, quote, guru used to live around here, Amrita Sai, he went to visit Prabhupada in 1977 in Bombay in January. So when he went there, somehow or other, Krishna arranged. He was glorifying Prabhupada, and he loved Prabhupada, I'm sure. But Prabhupada asked him, who is your guru? So he then gave the name of his guru. And then what did Prabhupada say? It's almost like the Thakur Haridas, like the Junior Haridas story, because he said, he told that story. And so then, Amrit, he said, oh, my guru achieved Nirvikalpa Samadhi. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that only one person in every 400 years will achieve this. Of course, he had no idea what was Nirvikalpa Samadhi, what is Mahaprabhu, really didn't have any idea, but he thought he knows something, so he said that. So Prabhupada just paused a little bit and said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never said that. And that was the beginning of this Prabhupada telling the story of Junior Haridas. Because Prabhupada somehow knew that this man was not a qualified. He was not acting like a sannyasi either. He was married. And he probably told him in brief. He didn't tell every detail, but he told the story. How all this happened, that happened, and the way he told it. So Mahaprabhu was very pleased when he went to commit suicide. And you hear Amrit on the tape, and he's saying, oh, like he said, wow. So you think you don't go to Prabhupada and start talking that you know Mahaprabhu, your guru is not even in the line of Mahaprabhu. That's not something. So you have to be in the line of Mahaprabhu. Now, Mahaprabhu walked to Ganya, Vairagya Pradhan. This is the thing, Lord Chaitanya likes Vairagya, not your bogus line of self-appointed guruship. So anyway, he told that story. Just to give him up. You think, wow, there's a million stories. Why did he tell him that story? That's very appropriate, thank you. Gradually getting free, one should not try to operate artificially. The smiling face of the Lord is the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, especially the 5 chapters. There are many upstarts who at once try to begin with the 10th canto, and especially with the 5 chapters which delineate the rasa of the Lord. Now, Bhakti Sananda Saraswati would say, if they actually saw, sometimes the play is given, it's very nice actually, many times in Vrindavan we're doing some enactment song. But Bhakti Sananta Saraswati, he would say, well, if they really saw that, they would not leave Vrindavan. And if they actually saw the rasa dance. Vakritatam raja vidu biridam cha vishnu. That verse comes there at the end. Vakritatam raja vidu biridam cha vishnu. Vidroga asta pahano acha. That if one really sees it, then this heart disease, Hrid Rog is the disease of the heart, Hrid. One will become completely transcendental. So that's what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was saying. Such improper study or hearing of Bhagavatam, material opportunists have played havoc by indulgence in sex life in the name of Bhagavatam. This vilification of Bhagavatam, here Prabhupada says a vilification. Vilification, just see, this is very heavy. Actually, vilification is a bad thing, like blasphemy or something. Is rendered by acts of the so-called devotees. One should be free from all kinds of sex desire before he tries to make a show of recital of Bhagavatam. Vishnu Chakravarti Chakra clearly defined the import of purification as cessation from sex results. He says, Yatayata Dishcha Sudyuti Vishaya Lampatyam. Lampatyam. Gopis, they address Krishna as Lampato. So it's not always good. In the case of Krishna, it's good. But this thing, you're a debauchee. But they don't mind. Ashla Shiva, Father Rambashtamam, Adashramamakam, Gotava, Yatata, Baba, Vidatu, Lampato. They don't mind. If you're on the level of Radharani, then if Krishna is going off, you can smash me down, make me mama hatam, broken heart. If we're on that level, but who's on that level? Okay, so we have the Sanskrit words, verse. And as one gets free from the intoxication of sex indulgence by purification of intelligence, one should step forward for the next meditation. In other words, progress of meditation on the different limbs of the transcendental body should be enhanced in proportion to the progress of purification of the heart. So there's no loss if one just reads first and second canto. I've met devotees, they say, I only read first and second canto. Very humble. I said, really? That's amazing. Yeah, you've gone past it. What, in 50 years, they still read that first and second canto. Even if you read first and second, you're going to find quotes from other cantos there. So if one, no harm if one word. Pati shloki pati akshare. If one reads it. Even the second canto at the end of Sukadeva's prayers, Vishwanath Chakravarti gives his understanding that at the end of that chapter of Sukadeva Goswami's prayers, how Sukadeva is speaking is just like the nectar of Krishna's lips kissing the gopis. So you're trapped there because if you only read second canto, even if you read Sukadeva's prayers, Vishwanath is saying you're getting gopi bhava. Progress. The conclusion is that those who are still entrapped by sex indulgence should never progress to meditation above the feet of the Lord. Therefore, recital of Bhagavatam by them should be restricted. One must complete the purificatory process by assimilating the contents of the first 9 cantos. Well, now he's being more merciful, we're getting 9 cantos. Then one should be admitted to the realm of the 10th canon of the Bhagavatam. Okay. Any questions and comments?
Knowledge and detachment is achieved when one engages in devotional service. Also,
say that again.
I said knowledge and detachment is achieved when one is engaged in devotional service. But with time, also one becomes more mature, and I guess one can be qualified to take up sannyas, right? As one become mature and detached, knowledgeable.
Bahunam Janmanamante, it might take many lives, right? That verse, 519,
Gita. Those are qualifications.
Right, but one can go many lifetimes with just on that level.
Apparently. But there's a catch there too. I mean, how do you know one hasn't gone through many lives? You know,
it says Kapila Dev's verse. Is it Devahuti that speaks the verse that what is it? Nama? What is that verse? Tapas tapas te juhuvu sashnara brahmanatra nama granthi. One who takes nam, it's understood that he's already performed tapasya and done all purificatory in previous lives. So that's there also. What's the beginning of that verse? Agre, jivagre, vartate namatubhyam.
But also in the scriptures, it's stated that an extraordinary brahmachari, extraordinary brahmachari can step over grihastha life and go straight on to sannyas.
Yeah. I mean, we have those Mahajans, like the four Kumaras, and Bhishma Dev was never married. If you don't hear, the four Kumaras are married. Narad Muni, he was a demigod, but that was a previous life. You know. But otherwise, when he's born from the body as the son of Brahma, then there's some story, you know, that sometimes we tell about Narad Muni, that he went into illusion, became. And apparently it's a Puranic story, but when Prabhupada heard the story, I just read this recently, he chastised all the devotees. He said, "That nonsense story." He didn't want to hear it, you know. And they were saying, but no, you don't sell this nonsense story. Yeah.
What story was that to come from
that? You know, that he wanted to see what was household life, and but Prabhupada, they were telling that, and Prabhupada heard it, and he said, "Yeah, that nonsense story, don't keep that," really chastised. So, and weigh me in the Puranas, but what with Purana, I don't know. Prabhupada declared it nonsense, didn't he?
If freedom from sex desire is determined by how one is free from the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction, then, and one should not read past the second canto, if they have this desire for profit, adoration, distinction, why are we? I mean, I'm not free from that.
Well, there's always this argument, like this verse, you know, Vakritam Vajibhidhidham Shivishno. What's the second line? My brain is getting atrophied. So, yeah, so the argument is always that, well, it says you can. You'll get free by reading even those five chapters, Panchadhyayi, you know, tenth canto. But when that was going on, remember in L.A., and the Prabhupada said, but they're becoming putrefied. But, you know, there was a great prominent disciple of Prabhupada who was tweaking, you know, some of the things that they apparently were doing in the Gopi Bhava group, which, when exactly, very famous person, and he was tweaking that a little bit, but Prabhupada said they are becoming putrefied. We just heard this quote, recently. So one has to be careful. In fact, Prabhupada quoted, he was quoting over and over this, that verse, Deha Smriti Nahi Ja Samsa Bandhan Kahatar. If one's on the level of Gopi, meaning Deha Smriti, he has no smriti, memory of his material body. he set the bar pretty high. But I mean, it's there. Even in Krishna book, it's there, you have to read it, right? But the question was, that was 1976. One has to, like, somebody has to, like, know, you know, like they used to say in the 60s,
dig yourself, man. You know, Prabhupada still said that. You know, dig yourself, you know, like, you know, where you're at. Don't artificially present. You know, you see, sometimes someone is very qualified, just like Pundarik Vijayaniti, not this one, but his namesake. He was, you know, you could think, wow, this guy, you know, even Gadadhar, he's a Panchatattva. I mean, he's like Shakyatattva, and he was thinking both of them, Leela. What this, you know, of course, Mukunda knew what he was thinking, so he started chanting verses. So one doesn't know, what is that verse? Even the most wise person doesn't know Kriya Mudra. Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vigaya Nabu. Even the way you don't know. Even the devotees don't know. Like we're hearing that story about Ram Das Vishvas, right? So Ram Das Vishvas, he kept chanting Ram, Ram, Ram all day long. He just chanting Shri Ram, Ram. Someone say that reason? Anyway, he was chanting that. And Gopal, Raghunath Bhatta was, he didn't want him to, but he was carrying his suitcase, I don't know, probably something. He was carrying it all the way from Varanasi, was it Varanasi? Down to Port Wall. Just like a pack animal or something. And he probably had his own stuff. Anyway, in the purport, when he came to Puri, everyone thought he was a great person. He's changed. But Mahaprabhu was just, he ignored him, pretty much. Didn't give him any respect. Not so impressed. And then Prabhupada said, in those days, one could not tell who was a great devotee and who wasn't. In those days. So when I read that, I think, what about now? I mean, in those days, they were smarter than we are. They were Lord Chaitanya's direct associate. Anyway, something to ponder about. Give him the mic, please.
By performing devotional service, one gains knowledge and detachment. So how come we don't see sometimes, in some cases, there's no detachment and even knowledge?
How come we don't see? Yeah, I heard your question. Trying to pick a fight here with somebody? Is that what Lugatmaka said? You're saying it another way, right? You're saying what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, that's true. Therefore, you know, we're going for, we're not jumping over, at least. We're going in the slow route. Just like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, when it was pointed out, I'm sure it went on in those days, maybe more so now, that there were people and then they would just, brahmacharis might get married, or the people didn't come around to the sadhana. And then Bhaktivinoda says, but they are already advanced. And, you know, then we will be there, we don't know, but he would say it in the mood of, yes, we should think that we're not so advanced. We need to hold on tightly and perform more sadhana. They're not performing because they're advanced. Of course, I'm sure he could say it sarcastically as well, but he could say it like that. Just like Prabhupada was speaking very humbly with some devotees, and they were saying why can't we grow mustache? Why can't we do this astrology? Or why can't we? Prabhupada didn't want them to do it. He was saying it explicitly, very clearly. But they were insisting in 75 and they never saying any heavy thing. But they said, it was one of the thrusts of their conversation. So Prabhupada said sarcastically, they said, well, Prabhupada, you had a mustache. We saw a picture of you. Mustache. He said, but you are more advanced, so you don't require. Then they took it seriously. So the next day, or a little after, someone said, but Prabhupada, and then he said they could go outside of ISKCON because they were finding too much fault. So, but still they took it literally somehow. I was so sarcastic, but they are so ignorant, they took it literally. So, yeah, sometimes that happens. They're more advanced than Prabhupada? I don't know about that. But even...
One of the 13 Atma Sampradayas,
Atibadi, they're what? They speak too much? Oh, they think they're very great. Yeah. Well, they weren't saying they were very great all the time or anything better, but Prabhupada just didn't want to hear any more of them. He gave them their lesson. Okay. Jai. No more comments. Yeah.